Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. Luckily, nobody knows what has just come before this intro. Lucy's had a cable dangling out. I didn't have my pants on. An in-depth look at the arches with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, and Fabrice of Felpersham. Oh, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap.
Email? A letter has flooded in, Harriet.
Surely there'll be one in the post from Laurie.
Yes.
Backdated.
Yes. He's sent it by a hansom cab, I think.
Have we got any telegrams?
No.
We Stop. Might do by the end of the recording.
Yeah.
Let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge was sponsored by people trying to poison each other. Also, parts of this week's monologue might not make sense, as despite listing Test Match Special as oral wallpaper, I don't really understand cricket, and there was a lot of it this week, and it was all a bit technical and about Ray Illingworth. We began with Tony feeling a tingle. He'd put his cricket box on upside down, but to be fair, it's the only tingle he's had for a while. Tracy's decided she's too much of a loser even to captain a bunch of disenchanted octogenarians who mostly can't remember what they came out for. But Pat came to see her and that drove her out of the house. Leonard scored the winning run and according to Jill, he could apparently remember W.G. Grace who died in 1915. So the fact that he's able to get to the pitch at all is an achievement. He bought his lucky bat and she sat and watched and thought about ways to poison her family. Fallon has invented two new quiches called Charlene and Twinge. Ooh, that'll bring them running. Jill was pestering her for the secret ingredients, but she kept stum. I know what they are. Buckfast in one and Head and Shoulders in the other. Fallon behaved as if she was the last of the Borgias, but Jill was airily unconcerned about the possibility that she'd just knocked out the last of the Archers dynasty. Happily, Charlene and Twinge turned out to be fine, and the whole thing was a sorry excuse to make the Queen a quiche or something. Stella and Jim were having a lovely time in the shop pretending to be rashers of bacon. Stella then broke the news to Jimus that yes, wheelbarrows of poo would be trundling through the village and he became splendidly and irrationally furious about it. To cheer himself up, he bought Alistair a sandwich with lime in it. What sort of horrifying witchcraft is that? Lee came back so that Pat and Tony could have a massive Barney in front of him. Pat accused Tony of not being alert and Tony said that actually he was a massive lurt. And in revenge, Pat told him he was a slow French waiter. Tony lost his shit and crippled Lee with railing with cricket bat. As Lee was stretchered off the field, Tony described it as a bit of a niggle, seemingly without realising that a karate instructor is a bit stuffed if he can't stand up, let alone kick anything. But then that's Tony, always with the empathy. In a strange juxtaposition of pronunciation styles, Lily talked to Jazza about kitchens. He hadn't even sold one kitchen, not to empty. Lily asked Auntie Shula what to do, and she rang Alistair to tell him she was flicking, and he said, "Not now, Shula, I'm knackered. Can you just not get on by yourself?" So Alistair arranged for Fern Britton to come round, and she told them their kitchen was underperforming, and for reasons I couldn't entirely fathom, had to listen to Alistair pretending he was still married to Shula. Fallon has learned a valuable lesson. Never work with children. Well, that's it, really. Just don't. Just never, ever, ever involve any children in any competitive event of any kind whatsoever, ever. Because it's not the children who are in competition. It is the parents. Parents are idiots about their children. It is entirely normal, but it is never something you should get involved with. Poor Fallon had one bright idea and immediately offended Jill, Lee and Ed all at once, which was quite the achievement. Ed went completely bonkers and used a children's pudding competition as an excuse for a strange garbled Wat Tyler-esque rant about people having advantages. I'm not sure Henry counts as a child who's had advantages. His daddy's a test tube. He saw mummy stab someone with some custard and he spent a sizeable chunk of his childhood with Pat and Tony. The only thing Kira's had to put up with is never knowing whether she's talking to her daddy or her uncle. The only reason Fallon that this sort of thing has not ended in bloodshed before in Ambridge is because no children were involved. That's why they don't let the parents in the tent on the children's MasterChef competition on the telly. If they did, there'd be parents elbowing small children in the face and gobbing in their creme pat. Leave it to the OAPs, Fallon, for the love of God. The end.
Oh, I can't believe you made this week funnier than it actually was.
This week was completely mad.
It was my best week for like 3.5 years. I felt so old because I just guffawed probably in every single episode. I had to stop writing all the lines down that I just found impossibly funny.
I loved Chelsea going about, because you don't want the men to look at you. Well, yeah. No, I do.
Oh, my God. So I thought Wednesday's kitchen episode.
Kitchen.
Was like, kitchen. So, right, the day before, that was the kitchen, and it was Lily and Jazza.
You haven't sold any kitchens,
and then Jazza. He was like, yeah, go, really, and she was like, no. Yeah, but it was just so funny, wasn't it? She's a really good comic actress,
she
I
is.
Think. Because her timing was impeccable, yeah. Wasn't it? And I loved Jazza's, like, you know, ignorance.
Yeah.
She was... No, okay, so no, but like trying to be nice, but actually...
And then she confessed to Shula that, no, if he doesn't sell any kitchens, I don't get my bonus or whatever, I don't get my recruitment thing.
The twists and turns and the little laughs just keep coming, Lucy. So I was like, this is a good week. And then it was kitchen at the actual kitchen episode.
Yes.
And I was just like, you know... almost crying with laughter. I mean, embarrassingly. Well, I mean, it wasn't that funny, was it? But, and then tonight's, which was, I've already completely forgotten.
Freddie and Chelsea and everyone at Lower Loxley.
Oh, God. Chelsea.
Yeah.
Freddie and Lily coming to terms with, you know, to understanding Chelsea was so funny, wasn't it?
I really
okay,
love
so you. That is a but Chelsea, that means you are objectifying yourself. You are,
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
No, I want them longer. Because I want buttons down them so you can
it gets
undo
hot.
The buttons. I was just so funny,
Freddie. It's the orangery, it's not the Bahamas.
Yeah, but even silly little lines like that. It just like the dynamic of the the energy of the conversation.
Those Lily and Freddie have found a groove
very
now
good.
That
very
they
good.
Absolutely were. And my favourite bit of all of it was
I know what you're
going to
say.
Was Freddie saying I'm going to work on my DJing, and she went, oh lovely.
I knew you were going to say that. Don't
take that away.
I knew you were going to say that because, like me, you've got a sister.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In that situation,
yeah.
I'm Lily.
Yeah.
Because the amount of times my sister goes, oh my gosh, stop patronising me. Because I'll just go, oh my God, that's such good news.
Well done, you!
It's like itchy, you know, you just want to slap your older sister, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was just so brilliant. And she's really funny, and her and Freddie together are such a... They've got great chemistry.
They really have.
Because it was really believable suddenly, wasn't it?
Much better than Pat and Tony.
Well, do you know what? I didn't mind them. I actually... I loved the cricket scene, Lucy. I agree, I didn't understand all the terms, but I don't think we needed to.
I liked Tony getting completely carried away waving that bat around.
And then the
sort of the wounded cry as Lee crashed to earth like a felled oak.
It was all done really well. Even the wounded cry was like, it was so dramatic that it, I don't know, there was something about this week. It was completely on fire, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, everyone nailed their scene. I don't know, everything was committed to 100%, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also it was the pace of it. It was lovely and quick.
Yes, yes, it was brilliant. Mm. And even like Tony with Lee after he'd injured him and you know, being really, really tactless. And, well, you know, Leonard's going to be, I can't remember the funny, you know, there was a funny thing, wasn't yeah. there, about, and Lee was like, yeah, well, cheers, mate. You
yeah.
know.
Says, well, yeah, you, it's a good job you didn't dent his bat or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks
Tony
for the concern.
Didn't, yeah, he just went,
but
thanks
Tony
for that, Tony.
Is made for those scenes, yeah. isn't he? That is, that's yeah. He delivered all that so beautifully. And actually, I thought I'd much prefer hearing Tony and Pat arguing like that and sniping.
Than when they're being all...
talking about puddings. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it was great.
And you are not supposed to run out your team member, especially when you are married to them.
I loved the fact that she just gave him yeah. the finger.
You were too slow.
Oh, it was a brilliant week. It was, wasn't it? It was a triumph.
I did feel genuinely sorry for Fallon, because you have a nice idea and you think, yep. oh, that would be nice, get the kiddies involved, and within a second and a half you've got your head in your hand. Two people are shouting at you and a small child is crying. It's just awful.
We have all been there. We've yep. all been there. It's yep. a bloody nightmare. Yeah. And you're totally right. It's the fucking parents
yeah. yes.
that make it a nightmare. Yeah. Kids couldn't give a toss no. whether they're involved or not.
Henry probably doesn't even want to be in that thing. Oh. And he probably didn't know anything about it until somebody went bossy booting up to him to tell
but
him.
But I actually really loved Lee's competitive parent side yeah. coming out. I thought that was really... It was much better than if they'd put Helen in that situation.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, she probably wouldn't have.
When he said, turned. "Oh no, he was picked. He was like headhunted to be the chief judge because he's semi-professional at the age of 11 or whatever it is."
And then Ed's back. But of course, the thing is, even if you're not a competitive parent, and obviously I'm not, Lucy.
Obviously,
if someone
heaven forfend, Harriet.
I know, but if someone says to you as a parent, oh my God, I'm just so happy because like little Daisy's been picked to play in the yeah. music concert. And you're like, oh, right. Oh my God, that's amazing. Well done, her.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, why didn't anyone ask my child? Well, obviously yeah. she wasn't.
No, the first thing you do is tell your own child. So you go, darling, darling, just give me a minute. Did you know about so-and-so? Did Miss Goddard ask you? Did she ask you? Were you off? Why didn't you... Did you know? Is there a letter somewhere that I haven't seen?
It's just that you've got a distinction yeah. in your grade.
Miss Goddard, could I just have a little word, please? Just, I'm sorry, sorry. It's just, you know, she's a little bit upset because apparently some other children have been picked to be in a thing and, you know, she is very good and, you know.
Oh my God.
And in the meantime, your child's standing on the edge God. Going, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You have to practice at lunchtime. Mom, don't say anything. Oh, God.
This is how just completely messed up people. My friend was at work and the nursery phoned her and my friend was like, oh, my God. And they were like, no, God, no, don't worry. Nothing important. You know, nothing serious.
They always say that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah.
And so they were phoning her at work and they were like, just wanted to let you know that... little Oliver hasn't been invited to Pixie's birthday party and the mummy is rather upset because, you know, little Oliver is one of Pixie's best friends. And the nursery phoned her to say, you haven't invited another no. kid to your kid's birthday party. And the mother has complained to the nursery. And that's outrageous, isn't it? You cannot do that. But this is how messed up people are. It's like, instead of just going, yeah. oh, well, never mind. I'm sure... Yeah. They're like, they're only 3 years old. They don't care.
No.
It's like, come on, guys. That's not weird. That's weird, isn't it?
It's very weird. And it's also the parent totally projecting their own.
Yes.
I always wanted to be invited to everyone's yes. party and I wasn't. So my yeah. child has now got to.
And of course, we all remember not being invited yeah. to that party. But not when you're three.
No.
You know, when you're 11 yeah. or 15 or yeah. 17, it's awful, yeah. isn't it? There's also something I think...
It is awful. And you also think, well, it didn't kill me. And I went out and did something else instead yeah. and whatever, yeah. you know.
So I'm not going to invite her to her yeah. little kid to my birthday party. Yeah, I remember my friend. I always remember I wasn't invited to Amy Padfield's birthday party. And she went...
I've never liked that Amy Padfield.
She went... She's a really nice girl. She went, it's because my mum doesn't know your mum very well. And I was like... It's like just like a stab in the apart, isn't it? Because I knew that was just an excuse that her mum had given her.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew it wasn't genuine.
Yeah.
It's because you didn't want to invite me, but your mum's given you an excuse. Fine. But anyway, it was fine. But I'm
Mom, how low would you say that you knew Amy Padfield's mum on a scale of 1 to 10?
Who, darling? That would have been my mum. What?
That woman with the hair? No, I don't know.
Anyway, yes, but I thought we would. I literally thought that we would spend this whole podcast talking about the kitchen scene. But instead, what's happened is they've just given us so
Something
much
else.
Great content that we can, you know, dissect any bit of this week, and it was all good. It was just, I thought this week was imaginative.
Yes.
Like even Tracy's. Chelsea getting Tracy's job, you know, stuff like
that.
It was just all clever, and every storyline, which you know I like, Lucy, interwove with each other.
Yes.
The only weak point was the quiche weirdness.
That was really weird. You just reminded me of something, you know.
Oh yeah.
Actually, it's not Amy Padfield. I remember when it was William's last summer at primary, and I was walking across the playground. And there was a parent, an extremely, how shall I describe it?
Cross.
Over-engaged parent.
Oh.
You know, the professional parent. The professional parent, you know.
Right,
They don't do anything else apart from parent very loudly and ostentatiously. And she was walking across the playground, inching across the playground, holding, and I under a cake stand, I'm not kidding, St. Paul's Cathedral made out of matchsticks. And this was apparently supposed to have been created by a seven-year-old. The seven-year-old is hopping alongside her mother, and her mother's saying, "If you jog me, I will kill you. Do you have any idea how long this took?" And I'm thinking, now you're actually making her feel bad that you felt the need to step in and do her homework for her so that she got congratulated and you got some sort of vicarious pleasure out of it. And I thought, I cannot wait to not be involved with primary schools anymore.
Oh, my God. The thing is, I laugh. I'm basically that mum. Because when I was at primary school, Lucy, I used to always win, like when we had to design the Christmas concert programme, I used to like win every year. My pictures would always go on the front cover. And when a similar thing comes around for my kids, I can't bear for them to do it themselves because they don't do a good enough job. So I have to come and supervise, make sure they fill out the
Wait, what does this have to? I have to come and supervise.
Lucy, I want them to hand in their best work.
Best work.
Because kids, they don't know that they're supposed to... If you don't fill the whole space, you are not going to win that bloody prize. You are not going to be on the front cover of the Christmas concert or the school fair poster or whatever. If you don't fill in the whole space, if you don't use bold primary colours and a good black outline, your picture is not going to stand out.
Okay. So, you're actually getting quite worked up about this now, aren't you?
Because kids are so stupid, they don't understand. They don't draw to win. They just draw what they think
they
is
They just draw
nice
to enjoy it. What sort of loser mentality is that? For God's sake.
I'm like, think of the bigger picture, children. And they don't. They just, you know, and then they don't. They rush it. Because they want to go and watch telly.
Yes, because that's more interesting than colouring in a picture of some bells.
Anyway, it literally is making me sweat. I can't talk about it.
Well, I think we've all learned a little bit about Harriet there, ladies and gentlemen.
So I really sympathised with Fallon, but I also sympathised with Ed, actually, and Lee. But if I was Fallon, what she should have done, just gone, it's fine, just fine, they can be a judge. Okay, fine, what we'll do is we're going to make all the children in the village judges.
And nobody will win at all. It will be a totally pointless competition in which nobody wins.
And Jill will be the head judge. Because that's what she wanted, wasn't it?
Can I tell an Archer's gossipy cast story?
Wow, yes. Is it from your friend?
Hmm.
Yeah, what's the goss?
Apparently... Oh dear, I'm going to have to... We're going to have to. No, it's not too bad.
You're not going to be mean.
No.
Okay.
There is a cast member, a character in The Archers who always wins cookery competitions. And one year there was a storyline in which this character did not win the cake competition and had to have sort of, not counselling, but actually went to the producers and said, are you sure this is a wise move for her not to win? Because she always wins. And she was genuinely hurt on behalf of her character that her character
hadn't
won. You
mean Jill?
Won. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a bit weird. Isn't that sort of associating too closely? Isn't that a bit like John Suchet and Poirot? He's always Poirot, isn't he? When he was filming Poirot, he was always Poirot.
But I think, I think it's when you get protective over your character.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you actually
you
don't
played
want...
that.
Because I
you
tweeted the other day. Yeah, I tweeted something about Tracy Horobin the other day, and I called her a lovely thing. It was somebody had complimented her, and I forwarded it to Susie Riddell, the actress who plays Tracy brilliantly, and said, "We all love Tracy, da 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 da." And she said, "Actually, Tracy's got an E in it, T-R-A-C-E-Y." And she said, I can't bear it if people spell her name wrong." She got really kind of...
Wow. That's really interesting.
So I think you do get
protective
over your character because you want them to flourish as well, because then they're interesting. It's and like they're going to be in it for a long time, and you know.
But also, I think it's probably a bit weird if you're an Archer's actor, because you own the character, you are the character, but everybody who listens to you feels like they own the character.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Especially because they all look at you in their head. Everyone is looking at you in their head and seeing a different person.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's much more so than than a character on EastEnders or something, because you're sort of seeing them, you know, with a.
Well, it's much more, radio is much more of a collaborative effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
well,
you have to go
more...
halfway to meet the interpretation.
And it's much more real, exactly. As you said, you've made that character in your head, so it's your character. So it's like, I think I'd have been a bit gutted if I'd tweeted, you know, Linda, L-I-N-D-A is this, I love her, blah, 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 and then Carol...
Boyd.
Smiley? Carol Snell.
Boyd. Carol Boyd.
Carol Boyd, that's it. Had tweeted back and said, actually, it would have been in character for him to do that, wouldn't it? That's the funny thing.
I think he'll find.
But I think as the listener, you're a bit like, well, do you know what? I don't give a toss. Yeah. Because in my head, she spells it L-I-N-D-A. I don't think I've ever heard her spell her name in the show. So, it all gets a bit weird, doesn't it? Because...
You meet in that half, and especially it gets very sort of meta when you're tweeting the actors.
Yes, yes.
And they are responding defensively on behalf of their characters, because you think, oh, now we're in a sort of no man's land where we're on a strange sort of neutral hinterland where nobody actually owns what's happening here.
Exactly, and especially like on the Twitter, in the hashtag the Archers community, because it's weird, isn't it, if the actual actors are sort of commenting along
because
all very weird and meta. You're right. Hey, maybe that's our next podcast. It's like the Archers in the metaverse. No, because I saw Toby Lawrence at work the other day, and I said because he doesn't really go on social media much, but except for his filming business on Instagram. And I said, Plucky Films.
Toby Lawrence plays Freddie, by the way.
And I said, you should get more involved in Twitter. And, you know, because I said, as a way of sort of like promoting your film company, why don't you sort of get more active on Twitter as Toby, as Freddie, well, a.k.a. Toby, because there's such a wide audience there, just, you know, at your... disposal, so to speak. And but he's thought that he couldn't really get his head around it. No, because the thing is, it's great for us, isn't it? It's so nice when the actors are communicative.
When David and Jill threw the Fair Brethren off their land out of Sawyer, whatever, not Sawyers, whatever it is, where they were, had the chickens. And the actor, whose name escapes me, who plays Ben Archer.
Oh, yeah. Tweeted
at the time, bloody hell, my family are a right lot of shits, aren't they?
That's really
and it was
funny.
Just really funny because he's very kind of left wing and very sort of kind of community minded. And it was totally against what he as an actor thinks.
Yeah.
But in character, it wouldn't. I think it also, would, yeah.
And when that's the thing, isn't it? It's like a treat for us every time they appear. The actor is sort of like exactly every time the actor pretends to be the character, it's like a little bit of gold for us, isn't it? Yeah, very interesting, actually, Lucy. How do we get onto this?
I have no idea.
Chelsea nicking Tracy's job. Was that it?
Something like that.
We still haven't bloody talked about the kitchen scene. Well, I suppose there's not much to say except it was just so funny.
Kitchen.
Well, no, that was the...
Alistair's kitchen.
That will go down in history, surely. With Fern. I mean, great. Also, great casting.
Yeah.
I just thought that scene, great writing, great casting, great timing, great performances. It was like a little bit. I mean, I don't think it would win a BAFTA, would it? Because it was a bit over the top.
And it was also quite 1980s. Oh, I didn't realise there was a little lady on the scene. I mean, who in their right mind as a woman would say that? Let alone, well, anyone really.
But it was great because it came from that dreadful sales rep.
Yeah.
But it was so funny, I thought. It was really beautifully played.
Yeah. Did you have a nice time? And Jimus frantically treading water, trying to keep everybody else afloat, saying, did you have a nice time in Chichester, Shula? And she went,
She went, Chichester. And Alistair went, it's got a cathedral. It was really good, wasn't it? I love it when they just give us a beautiful episode like that.
Yeah.
That everyone's stumbling around in the dark. And then finally, the reason it worked so well was Shula coming in. And somebody really clever on Twitter tweeted, oh, I wish I could remember who it was and what he said, but he was like, I think it was Ruth Arian.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, it was perfection because it was like Shula acting Shula.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that, something clever like that. Yeah. Right? But it was right, wasn't it? It was like Shula, but acting Shula. But it was like Shula times 5,
yes.
5,000.
Shula at her Shuliest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you'll find you're a brick. No, we're not a brick. A rock. What was it? A plank.
No, he said he had all the empathy of a brick or something, of a half brick. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, and every day. And as for you, Jim, what? It's just really clever. It really brings those characters to life.
Yeah.
You sort of forget, that's the thing when they've, Alistair can be such a dullard, can't he? And then he does a scene like that. And it's just great.
Everybody had immediately shipped Stella and Alistair, by the way. Stannister lift.
Which is a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Well, I had hoped for better things for her.
Yeah, we had hoped for more interest. Although, but that's the thing. That kitchen scene has put Alistair back in sort of like, I don't know, I would have said fancied him.
Because he was quick and he was funny and he was helpful and he was
funny.
Yeah.
And then he was, sympathetic about the dog. Yeah. And, Stella doesn't know, though,
that you can't train a greyhound to be a sheepdog. Please somebody tell me she's not going to get a greyhound and no.
No, she just wants a little company, doesn't she?
Oh, I see.
She just wants a bungalow dog. She doesn't. She's not going out there like
a bunga dog. Okay, she's not like that.
Farmer Brown.
That flipping Yorkshire woman who keeps having children all the time.
Oh,
not
the
her.
Yorkshire shepherdess.
In her Primark miniskirt, striding around the dales. Yes. So okay.
Yeah.
So she is going because there was some stuff about Will Grundy fancying her. So now if she goes out with Alistair, then Will Grundy will presumably blow his head off with a shotgun.
Yeah, well, him and Ed can just get their heads together and talk about being ousted out of society again.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also, it was like with the Tracy, Tracy Horobin showed a bit of Tracy Horobin again this week when she was, when she went to Freddie. I was so glad it happened because I was about to say for her, hang on a minute, you own us. When she was like, and how are you, Freddie? And he was like, oh, well, you know, I got the DJ. And I shouted, you've got a stately home. Yeah. And luckily she then got the hump as well.
Yeah.
And then a bit of her old Horobin, you know, sort of like firing off before, you know, just.
Yeah.
And I was really relieved because when she's all mumsy and, well, darling, I don't want you to go out to work. And so you're sort of like, but Chelsea's like 17 or something. Everyone, I mean, I don't know anyone who hasn't got a job at 17.
Mm.
Isn't it weird not to have a job?
Yeah.
So I was sort of a bit like, surely, like, you know, if you've got 17, most of them, even if they're just babysitting, are making a bit of money.
Every time Freddie talks about concentrating on my DJing, it just reminds me of Ross on Friends going, I'm going to concentrate on my music.
I really liked Trent giving him managerial advice as well. I really hope Trent stays in it as a sort of substitutary character that we never hear from. I don't know. I'm really high on how good it was this week.
Apart from the only big for me was Fallon having a shit fit about, if they just said what it was.
Oh, no, what they should have done.
That was the bit that drove me mad.
It should have been like, you know, Harrison's chemsex stuff. It should have been, what are these drugs called? Can't remember. Haven't had one for a while. Should have been that, shouldn't it? It should
like GBH
have been.
Or something.
Or it should have been a bit of weed or something. You know, it should have been, shouldn't it? So, or a little hint that it might. Because it was annoying when.
But we've already had that, though.
It's not serious, is it? And she was like, no.
We've already had that because Kate put loads of weed in a stew.
Yeah, I suppose. But it just, I thought that, I wonder if actually that was a storyline that had to be quickly, what's the word, sanitised for BBC Radio or something. I don't know. It felt like it could have gone to a really good
I think
place.
It was just a really clumsy way of,
doing
rather than Fallon just going, I've had a really good idea, why don't we get, you know.
Yeah.
Creative mistakes and all that. And
also, like, it goes back to the parents helping the kids, doesn't it? It's like, everyone's going to say, oh, I accidentally put a secret degree. You'll never guess
but
what
it's
it
that,
is.
But it's that secrecy for secrecy's sake. That's what I can't. It drives me absolutely nuts. Why can't they just. She said, oh, I thought it was cardamom pods and it was capers instead. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was all it was. But, you know, to go with this secret things in a secret jar. She's not 10. She's a flipping chef.
I can't tell you because it's my reputation.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's boring.
Yeah, it's boring and silly.
Boring. But don't worry, Fallon, you'll have a good bit with kids coming up. But I hope they play that scene of the judges.
I was quite impressed with Fallon sticking to her gun. I mean, I was impressed because it's all going to go horribly wrong, but I was impressed with her sticking with it and saying, nope, I'm not changing my mind. He's not going to do it. He's da 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 da. And
yeah, I know. I would just be like, yeah, of course you can. Oh my God.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't invite him immediately.
Kira. Oh yeah, Henry. I've got literally the more the merrier. I did that with kids because I had to audition them for a thing. And then the thing is, if somebody finds out that their kid is auditioning for something, then it's like, oh, so my kid, actually, do you need anyone else? And you can't say, no, they can't come and audition for this part that nobody's going to get anyway, because it's never going to happen. So I spent, a whole day auditioning like 25 kids.
Oh.
And, you know, so they had to do the audition, then I had to edit it. And then at the end, I had to like mark them all up and then send them. It was a nightmare.
Mm.
And no one got the bloody job, so it was just a waste of time. But anyway, but they all had a great time. It was fun. We had a lot of fun that day, Lucy. Anyway, if anyone wants any kids doing voiceovers, I've got like a whole 25 of them now. If anyone needs any children doing voiceovers, they're all really good. They are all really good. That's the thing. Everyone who came, even the ones I thought were going to be shit, was so good because kids are so good. They sound so cute. Mm. An eight-year-old sounds like they're five when they're on a mic.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yes. Emails now?
Yeah.
Now, this is from Claire Marsh. And she sent us a photo of her and her friend Pat in the garden. And she says, she's just her friend Pat.
Oh, right.
She
Pat.
Said, hi, Lucy and Harriet. I am at my husband's birthday party. And instead of paying him any attention, I'm sitting with my friend Pat trying to work out who Febreze's accent might be offensive to. Everybody!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Claire and Pat, everybody. It doesn't seem to be lampooning any particular nationality, although Pat thinks he sounds like the end of a perfume advert. We haven't seen each other for a while, and we are spending all our time talking about Ambridge on the couch, hardly even touching on the actual archers. Loving your show, Claire and Pat. That is a lovely picture, Claire and Pat, and I am going to tweet it. Happy birthday to your husband, who's being sadly ignored, or maybe he's actually quite happy.
Where's Claire? Has anyone seen Claire? Pat was here a minute ago.
Did Claire actually come to my party? Because
happy birthday. guys, we've got to wait for Claire. Come on. She's got the cake.
I think. Has she?
her and Pat are eating it over there with a bottle of champagne.
And Febreze, as he revealed in last week's episode.
1987.
Is
Eurovisiana.
The People's Republic of Eurovisia. So
those are really the only people he's offending, presumably.
And they're not really easily offended people. They're quite robust.
Right, the and their accent changes.
It's quite flexible. They're a flexible people.
Because it's a melange. Of different cultures, and
it's the accent equivalent of Esperanto, basically. That's what he speaks.
Oh yeah, like that brilliant soap opera that used to be on.
Yes.
What was that? You know, El Dorado.
Yes. He's a one man El Dorado.
Didn't that take over from Wogan? Was that it?
To much
what
fury.
Was Axed, yes. And then they put El Dorado on. I really enjoyed it, but I was the right age. Mm. Chelsea's Elizabeth I.
Yes.
I'm going to look like Elizabeth I. That was funny. But again, I laughed along and I was like, oh my God, how old am I? Yeah. I can't believe I'm like lolling to the archers and like literally. I'm going to look like Elizabeth I. That was me. And then I literally had to do a step back and go, oh my God.
I've lost my irony meter. Where's my irony? I need my cynicism back. I'm really laughing now. Oh, God.
The thing is,
I'm not laughing because it's crap. I'm laughing because it's good.
Objectify. Yeah. She is objectifying me because I want to look sexy. He's not letting me. But that thing, it was just so good. Sorry. I'll stop.
Steve Barry. Dear Lucy, Harriet and the Fab Feb. Firstly, thank you very much for the interpretation of 4 minutes and 33 seconds with bashed guitar and Are We Nearly There Yet in last week's show. A triumph, he said. I was quite impressed that I seemed to get the advert break between preeclampsia and premature labour, which I found an interesting place for it. I am interested to know whether Tenor do any male products, as if they're going to sponsor your marvellous production, I feel I should be supporting them. I think they do. I've seen adverts for them in the New Yorker. They do Tenor, but they're like whole pants. They're not just like pads. They're whole pants, Tenor pants.
Man pants? Man, for man?
Man, what? For man?
For man.
Man pants for man.
You've... For men.
Are you Portuguese?
For man. I meant for one and all. For yeah, you're not allowed to say that now. I can't say man. You can't. For everybody. For the human race is what I meant.
Yes.
For the male species.
Yes.
Wow. What do they leak with? What do they leak?
Presumably we. Yes.
Yeah. I suppose they have weak bladders as well.
Yes.
Pelvic floors. Men have pelvic floors.
Yes.
Yep. Because in Pilates, when there's men in the class, they also do the pelvic floor exercises.
Oh, really?
Apparently it's just as good for men to do them as it is.
Can they go on trampolines
women.
Or not?
It depends how big their willy is.
Really?
Yeah. Because it depends what sort of casing they've got down there in their underpants. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. You said that with great authority, though. And I've also got a series of horrible mental images now that I really wish you had.
I've only ever been on trampolines with children.
Okay. But did you pee yourself, though, on the trampolines?
Well, I haven't tested myself out for a while. Let's just put it that way, Lucy.
It won't take long for you to find out, I have to say.
I do avoid jumping jacks.
Yeah.
I do them with my legs crossed.
It's like when you sneeze and you have to cross your legs and then sneeze, otherwise it's, yeah.
But then my friend Brilly, who's a doctor, says, we'd be having this sort of chat and she'd be like, no, this isn't good enough. You need to get yourself referred to a women's health clinic by your GP and get yourself sorted.
Yeah, but my friend Sarah did that and they made her jump over a bucket.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yes.
To let the wee into the... So it went into the bucket.
No, they were trying to see how much wee would come out if it's jumping over a bucket. And she said, is this as scientific as it gets then, the jumping over a bucket? She said, if you were testing blokes, you wouldn't have them jumping over a bucket. They'd have a beeping machine.
Well, let's give Tenor a call and ask them. Maybe they could come and do like... We could do a podcast on it, Lucy.
Mm.
There aren't enough sort of like menopause podcasts.
No, because no one's talking about it at the moment. Oh, my God.
Have you seen that Tenor advert now? There's a short version on the telly or there's a long version online.
I still have not. I will.
Okay, well, you've had better things to do in Portugal.
I have.
Completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh no, I know what it was. It was the awfulness of listening to you say preeclampsia, immediately followed by bagpipes and the royal tattoo in Edinburgh. This
I didn't
year.
Get that one. Why do you get different adverts to me?
Because, why would I get the royal tattoo?
I don't know.
Why is that?
To me, the tattoo is something to say tattoo. Do you remember that from John Hegley?
For there'll be a tattoo at 22, a rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tattoo, and the dragon will come at the beat of a drum at a minute or two to today, at a minute or two to do. That one?
No.
It's a tongue twister.
Ah.
It's a warm-up. Yeah, it's a good one. A rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tattoo, a rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tattoo. For the dragon will come at the beat of a drum at a minute or two to do today, at a minute or two to do, and you have to say it really fast.
The only one we
what
used
to do today, today at a minute or two to do. I think distinctly hard to say, but hard still to do. For there'll be a tattoo at 22. I can't do it because I'm tired.
We used to do to sit in solemn silence in a dark, damp dock. It's all about consonants, spitting out your consonants.
But also dark, damp dock.
Yeah.
Presumably becomes something hilarious.
No.
Oh.
No, it's just a warm-up, vocal warm-up thingy.
Dark, damp, domp. Dark, damp,
domp.
Dark, damp, domp. What is it? Dark, damp, domp.
To sit in solemn silence in a dark, damp dock.
To sit in solemn silence
awaiting the sensation
dark,
of a short, sharp shot from a cheap and chippy chopper on a big black block, something like that. I can't remember the whole thing.
Oh, my God, that's really hard.
Mm.
Dark, damp, domp.
But if you do it properly, your cheeks hurt by the time you've finished, which is...
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, it means you're projecting.
Yes. Now we haven't finished Steve's email because we got
competitive parents. I was actually trying to teach my 7-year-old to project today because she's got to do one line in her class assembly tomorrow.
Oh, poor little sod. So all the others are going to be going, da, 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 and she's going to be like, la!
Because
bounce
I
it
saying,
off the back wall, darling.
What they do is they put all their, they do their thing and then they're da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I was like, keep the energy up. The energy goes up to the sky. Energy, energy. And then she would be shouting. Like, no, projecting isn't screaming. It's not shouting. It's making me hear it at the back of the room. Do it again. And then I
Harriet,
kissy-wizzy at the
would
end.
You mind giving your children my mobile number and just saying that if they ever need anyone to talk to, Auntie Lucy will listen without judgment and also put them in touch with the relevant authorities should I decide that becomes necessary. And I think it is.
They get a high five and a chocolate biscuit after a rehearsal.
Yeah, right.
Also, she's the narrator. She's not Henry VIII. No, she's not playing the main part, Lucy. She's just a narrator. She's just got one line.
How can the narrator only have one line? Oh, because everyone's a narrator.
Everyone's a bloody narrator. But I've said to her, if she projects and is brilliant, then next time she might get two lines.
Harriet, you can't do that.
Oh, my God.
Because they've still got to give everybody a part, so she'll try her little heart out, and then the next time she'll still be the narrator. Because the chair of the PTA's daughter will be the Henry VIII or something. And then she'll think, oh, no, I have let mummy down. I was not good enough.
I mean, can you imagine what I'm like when I'm sitting in those assemblies? I'm so stressed. I can't, like, all
are you smiling are like, for them? And no, doing all the eyes and eyes, teeth,
no,
tongue, head up,
I'm,
head up.
I'm sweating.
Big smile.
I'm trying to, like, you know, like, telepathically say, look up, look up, you know, like, uncross your legs, body language. Chest open, but they're not getting it. They're just not
That's
getting
because
it.
Because they're seven, Harriet.
But I get annoyed because the performances are so shit.
But again, because they're seven.
Because there's 30 kids in a class,
yes.
So they don't each get sort of like they don't get individual direction, Lucy, and it annoys me.
I worry about you.
It's fine. We're good. Honestly, guys, it's really great. We're a big, big, happy family. Yeah, yeah.
No one cries.
No pressure, everyone
cries a lot.
Yeah, go on. Come on, guys. Come and audition at my place. Yeah, I got loads of auditions for you. God. Anyway, no, it'll be fine. Anyway, it's tomorrow. I'll let you know how it goes, Lucy.
Okay, thanks. I'll be up all night. Anyway, and Steve Barry's final thing is, lastly, when Jolene said goodbye to Kathy, is it just me that thought the malice in her voice made me think that there was going to be a horse's head arriving in the back of her Winnebago before she'd driven out of Anchorage? Keep up the superb work, Steve Barry. Thank you, Steve.
And I like the fact that Kathy's gone. Literally no one's mentioned her this week.
No.
Just back
where was that woman that was times. Here all the time? That rabbity
oh,
thing.
Was that no, a dream? No. That woman that turned up in a rabbit costume and closed down Grey Gables. Wow, weird. I also quite like the fact there was no Ardil this week.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Yes, God
bless
save
him.
Us from Ardil.
No, can't wait. Can't wait to hear the latest on... GGs.
Anyway. Katie Powell Anderson. Mm-hmm. Said,
I didn't have any emails.
Well, we've just got this, and this is the last one.
Okay.
Kate Powell,
no, it's good. I mean, I want more, obviously, but.
Obviously.
You said one. Okay.
Katie Powell Anderson said she spotted the attached photo on Twitter, which I will tweet. The name of the seller gave me a chuckle, and it is an eBay posting of a wedding dress. And I will read it to you when it comes up. It says, wedding dress. £5. Listed about a day ago in Stockton-on-Tees. Size, fat. wedding dress. Would fit the larger lady. Quite chavvy in style, so would suit a cheap slapper.
No.
Had a lucky escape, so it is brand new, which is more than can be said for the intended wearer's well-worn vagina. UK local only as it's collect. I will not be posting this. It is a size 12, I think. She was prone to lying, so it's probably a 14 to 16. And the name of the person that posted it was Christopher Carter.
Is that a real post?
Yep.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
And it's a really horrible dress. But anyway, what would you expect for £5? Yes, I shall.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Chris Carter. Anyway.
That's amazing.
She said, thoughts on this week's Archers so far. Tuesday's episode was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Oh,
Tony and Pat being two of the most miserable humans ever. Then the next scene, Shula. Horrific. She said, thanks for all you do. Love the podcast.
That would have been the...
That was the...
Have you got Herbert Barnard's latest poetry? That was that episode, wasn't it?
Herbert Barnard. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't fancy Alistair when he was doing that poem,
No.
Okay, yeah, I can see why Pat and Tony were Marmite this week.
I want to flick, Alistair. I want to flick. Well, go on then. I'm not stopping you, you silly cow. We're not married anymore. I don't care what you do. Flick away. Flick off, Shula.
I did like the fact that Alistair was really dismissive of her and was just like, oh, just go online and
get
it.
Yeah, whatever.
Are
you?
Or just text me. Just text. Why are you calling? Why are you calling me? You are not my wife unless we don't need a kitchen.
In which case, could you come and be my wife, please, and pretend that you've just come back from Chichester for no reason at all?
It is impossible in that. You know, like I did. You know when you're in that situation, because we've all been there. You know when you're with a salesperson and you.
Well,
you
we've all been that... there, but we've all had to pretend that we, you know. With someone.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because it gets to the point. You go in and you're like, well, obviously I'm not going to buy it, but I'm just see if they can just design me a kitchen anyway. But then you get to the point where you're like, oh my God, I'm about to give you my credit card and I literally don't know how I'm not going to give you my credit card. You know, like it gets, you. They suck you in. So they're so powerful that you have to go, oh my God, I've just remembered that I'm having a heart attack, and in your head all you're doing is just like coming up with ridiculous excuses, isn't it, as to how
well I think there's always the secret fear that they're actually never going to leave, that they're just going to sit there.
Which is exactly how they played it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that's right, but they're not, it's like, that's the thing, the stakes for them are so high.
Yeah.
They are not leaving until they've got a sale.
Yeah.
And you don't realise that because you've just gone, I won't come to that. But it does come to that.
Yeah.
So then you need a life and death situation to get you out of there.
Yeah.
Because that's the only, you know, it literally is life and death for both of you. And it's a standoff, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like,
have you seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
Who's that? Is that a poetry book by Shula Hebden?
What is it? It's a film with Al Pacino and Gene Hackman, I think, and lots of other people. It's absolutely brilliant. It's David Mamet, and it is
David Mamet.
Yeah,
Mamet. That's what I said at drama school. Once
David Mamet.
I laughed. I went, oh, it's just this play by David Mamet. I laughed. I didn't know.
Mamet. him.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's about salesmen. And
great.
Incredibly committed salesmen, and they're all, they've got to make this money.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it is one of the most stressful things you could ever watch. It's so brilliantly acted, it's amazing. But they literally, he turns up in the middle of the night in a pouring down rain night, and he goes all the way out to this couple's house, and he basically says, I'm not leaving until I've sold you this thing.
God. Oh, maybe that
and you can see that sort of panicky expression on their faces where they're thinking, we can't do this, but at the same time, this man is not going to go, is he?
But that's
he lives
so
here now.
Funny.
Oh my God.
Jim and Alistair were literally going, we're actually gonna buy a kitchen for Jazz's sake. We are buying a bloody kitchen that we don't want.
But Jazz is such a twat, honestly. Fancy going, oh, that's it now. Brilliant, I've done it.
Yeah, I was
annoyed. No, you twerp, you've sold one.
I was annoyed about that because Jazz is not thick. Like, that made him
seem exactly.
really thick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's not like that.
No,
that pissed me off a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know what the commission is on that, but it's not going to make you or, you know.
No, absolutely, no.
But actually, you haven't, what you have sold is not even
single digits. It's not even one, is it, Jezza?
It's a, not even a single digit.
Huh? Have to do what? But also, I was sort of thinking, well, that's bad management because somebody should have said to Jezza right at the beginning, you're not going to get paid unless you make a sale.
And also, she's not his manager. It's not her job to...
But she wants her recruitment bonus.
I know.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's not really up to her to coach him.
Anyway, what's happened to Saul?
Saul.
Whatever he's called.
Saul, the one that she slept with.
Yeah, Better Call Saul. I mean, because he was interesting and nice and funny and he wasn't Russ.
Wasn't Saul... Who was the one that... Phoebe went to work for, wasn't he called Saul?
No, you thought it was. He was
He was just someone else. Okay, yeah, they're all, but Saul's just out of the picture.
Oh,
what? Yeah, but now she's, yeah, but you know, now her and Russ are like a proper item, aren't they? Ugh. Yeah, it's annoying, really, isn't it? But it's fine because when Lily's playing funny, she's good.
Yeah.
When she's playing straight, it's not as funny because she's. Yeah. But she's great at the comedy.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
And now. Let's go over to Febreze and Felpsham. Where Febreze has become involved in Fallon's Create a Dish competition.
Radio Borsetshire. Colin, who is this lady what I am signing card for? Yes, I know Eileen, but who is Eileen? Is she the one with the blouses or the one with the funny leg? Oh yes, funny leg Eileen. Oh, is she leaving or is she going to have something done with funny leg? Oh, birthday. Oh, Colin, you might please have to cross out the bit about funny leg. I am ready now, Colin. You can press the little button. Hello, welcome to Radio Borsetshire with me, Febreze of Felpersham. This week we have lovely Falling Rogers with me, who run the Bridge Farm Rooms for Having Tea in. She is very good chef and she is running competition to see who can come up with a completely new dish. Falling, tell us all about it.
Well, you just have, basically, Febreze.
Oh, I am very good then. What sort of thing are you hoping people suggest?
Anything really unconventional.
Oh, good. Now, I have had some very funny idea and maybe I will win. I will tell you. Like sausages in a Yorkshire pudding. Oh, that is very funny.
We already have that. That's Toad in the Hole.
Oh, my God. That do not even have a nice name. Oh, think, oh, lovely. I would like a toad or I would like a bit of owl. Oh dear. Okay then. I have other idea. Get a cake and put wine on it and then some jelly and then some custard and then cream and then sweeties on top.
Well, that's called a sherry trifle. We have it on Boxing Day.
Oh, no wonder you all fight. What about an egg what is wrapped in meat and bread and all fry up together?
Scotch egg.
The inside of a sheep in a balloon?
That's haggis. Febreze, I can't help thinking you're just doing this to laugh at our cuisine.
I am not laugh at your cuisine. No one who has ever eaten the national dish of People's Republic of Eurovisia could laugh at anyone else's cuisine, believe me. It is enough to say it involves sardine, some sort of cheese, and cold pasta.
How do you cook it?
Special bucket. The traditional recipe specify it must be a blue bucket from Aldi. But I think Lidl just as good. And then you keep the bucket for after, as you probably need it.
Well, if anyone has got any actual ideas that don't already exist, that would be great. Drop me an email at fallonandharrisman@jesusislove.co.uk. Thanks for having me, Febreze.
I will see you soon, lovely Falling. Maybe we could do something about that moustache.
Moustache?
Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. And remember, if you ever make a mistake in life or in cooking, pretend it is something French and you did it by purpose. And everyone go, ooh, this worked for cooking, films and sex. Bye-bye. Have a lovely week, and I will not speak to you next week, as apparently I've been oust for a week by Mr. Newbings, who wants to tell us all about how he is doing living in Ambridge with his amour, Beverly the Drains. I think he is a bonker, as she have no style. She dressed like she have won a trolley dash in a clothing bank. Anyway, bye.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Fabrice.
That was a genuine laugh because I've read that script.
I am not even going to, we're not even going to try and leave a gap for the sodding advert now.
Oh,
so
God, I forgot.
It probably appeared smack bang in the middle of the February sketch. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Anyway.
Hang on. Lucy, stop.
What?
So that was a test.
Okay.
So we could see next week or whenever it comes out.
I don't think we have to whisper. I think it's...
No, but the gap. The gap, we left the gap.
Yeah,
we
but,
left a bit of a gap, I surprised
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but now we're whispering and we don't need to because it's not a gap anymore because we're whispering.
I know, but I think there was like at least 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. Are we trying to sneak up on it?
They could slot it in.
Okay, right. And we're sneaking up on the advert now, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're hoping it'll just slot itself in right there.
Okay.
And maybe it'll be, hey, Lucy, wouldn't it be hilarious if it was like for magnet kitchens or something? Magnet kitchens. Would you like, oh, I loved her. I loved Fern. I loved the way she was like trying to be posh as well, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like she put on, she had her special kitchen sales voice.
And she was doing that, we sell visions and utilise, not use.
Yeah.
How...
Do you have a question? It was like, yes, I have a question. Actually, do you have a question? Not letting them get a word in. This is rather what I like to call a sink and white goods kitchen. Well, that's... Yes,
you're under... What did she say? It's
your
underperforming.
Your kitchen is underperforming. It's just a utility kitchen. Something like that. It was very good. Oh, some people will have hated that, I know, but I loved it. I love the hammy stuff. That's a thing, Lucy. I can't get enough of the hammy, cheesy comedy.
Well, that's good. And I think we need a little bit of that every now and again.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think so.
And we have all been through a bit of trauma, haven't we, with Alice and Chris. And
also, you know, there'll be a lot more Tracy trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'd be interesting, won't it, to see how... Well, not interesting, depressing in the next few years how, you know, I think everybody's going to be affected, aren't they? But, you know, if Tracy's in the shits now,
yeah,
just wait till her next energy bill comes in.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, on that downer, really great to see you guys. Thanks so much for coming. oh, Lucy,
what?
Can I just do a shout out to
our
kind reviewers?
Yes.
because... Everybody's so over generous to us already and does, you know, thank you so much for being patrons. Thank you so much for liking and subscribing, for listening, and also for reviewing, because apparently I still haven't worked out why, but it's really important that we have loads of reviews. And everybody is super generous. Unfortunately, someone very honestly gave us a less than 5-star review, Lucy, but just for audio quality, which is totally fine.
I don't know what he means. How very dare he?
Audio quality is shite. You're right. But that should have been a whole new category of a review. Look, we're not doing audio reviews, guys. We're not reviewing the technicalities of how shit this podcast is produced. He's very nice about the content and everything. He or she or they. Anyway, but what it means is that, unfortunately, Lucy, like our Uber ratings, we're like half a point down than we were, and we need to get back to the 4.9 or whatever.
Okay.
So if anybody wouldn't mind just quickly just doing a quick 5-star review, that'd be really kind. Thanks. Then we can get our ratings back up. Then we get back up into the, you know, big boys categories in the podcast.
Yes.
I'm waving my hands about, you can't see.
There's a category for big boys?
Boys and trampolines is good.
bouncy boys on tramp.
Swinging their dicks around in the podcast world. Well, if they can do that, we can flap around with the best.
I was going to say, we saw a fair few of those at the Arias.
Oh my God, we did. We stayed in our girl group because they were all swinging so hard.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to be bigger than them.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks so much. I'm sorry because this is really, annoying because you have to like log in and whatever. But I don't. Yeah. Do you know what I was going to do today? I was going to Google what's the easiest way to write a review of a podcast. And I forgot.
Okay.
But anyway, if you've got Apple, if you've got Apple stuff,
and
you
iTunes,
can just go on
yeah.
the podcast and do it there. Mm. That's probably the easiest thing. Yes. So thank you so much in advance for anybody that does do that, because our reviews are amazing, and Lucy doesn't bother reading them, but I read them all, and they are.
It's
really
not. I don't read them because I'm not grateful. I don't read them because I'm scared that someone's going to say, "This is a pile of poo."
I know. To be fair, you always said that you don't ever want to read them because you're frightened. Yeah. But they're amazing, and people are say such funny things, Lucy. That okay. It's brilliant. I recommend having a good old read.
Okay.
And if you're not going to put a 5-star review, just don't go on there. All right. Just switch us off and put the telly on. Thank you.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at on Ambridge. We still haven't figured that out, have we?
No.
Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. Now, the theme. This week's theme from Matt Rodriguez Payne, who else, has been the source of more comedy parody running scenes than any other thing in the history of the universe.
Oh.
Do you have any ideas?
Carry On. Benny Hill?
No.
Serious,
high drama.
That thing?
No. What was that?
I don't
know. Oh, like the yeah.
Buzzy Bee thing.
Nope.
Don't know.
Running round an Oxbridge quad. Vangelis?
Baby, I was born to run.
Oh, God. Right. I'm going to play it and then you'll go, I can't remember this, I'm too young. But anyway. Ready?
Yep.
Middle of that.
I was just going to say, I wish I could do an applause sound effect. That was amazing. Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
That was so clever. How does he know? How does he know what's going to work with the theme? I wonder if he discards ones that don't work.
Yeah.
Does he just make anything work?
Well, it's got to be within a certain chord thing, hasn't it? And it's got to have a certain time. His brain works in a different way to ours.
Yeah.
Which I can't don't even, work can't, at all. Mostly.
I'm thinking that sounds like The Archers, but now I can't even remember The Archers.
I can't even sing things in a round because I automatically start singing whatever the last person sang. I can't remember the tune
good.
I was supposed to do.
I saw Chariots of Fire at the theatre once. It didn't really work.
No. How would it work?
Well, they just ran round and round. I think
that must have been quite boring watching that for an hour and 20 minutes. Exactly. There they are again.
Someone
around.
Just came on behind them, like with the sort of changing the scenery, like new poster. No, of course not.
Well, it depends where you saw it. I've seen some local theatre productions where that would have been the height of sophistication. They'd have been congratulating themselves for months and thought of that.
They just came on like holding an Eiffel Tower.
It went wobbling past.
That was amazing, Matt. Thank you.
It was. I loved that one. Yeah. So that's it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
And have a lovely week.
Have a lovely week. Thanks so much, everyone.
I'm going to play it again now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, great. Oh, yeah, great.
Or not. No, not?
Yes, no, yes, yes,
okay.
Yes, do. Yeah.
Okay.
Great intro.
I didn't want to go because I wanted to stay and listen.
Oh!
Yeah, so good.
I thought you were off.
No. All right, bye!
Okay, bye. Stop stage mumming your children. Go and tell them that you love them even if they can't sing in June and they can't draw anything.
I might have been slightly exaggerating. Dramatic.
I know, yes. For purposes of verisimilitude, chaps, Harriet is an extremely good mother who's very kind to her children.
Do you think I've actually got the time?
No. To hothouse your children.
I literally know, just put the telly on. You'll be fine. Just put the telly on. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.